Welcome to our sixth sermon in our sermon series entitled, I Choose, Deciding Our Values for Life. Today's sermon title, Valuing the Church. Open your Bible to Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 7, and let's begin.
What makes, we're talking about values, and I'm going to ask you to think about your value for the church today. So we have to start by saying, what makes an authentic church? Can anybody just go rent a storefront, hang a sign out, and call themselves a church? Or does there have to be certain elements that make an authentic church? And if there are elements that make an authentic church, what are they? So during the Reformation, when the church was tearing itself into a million little pieces, John Calvin sat down and thought about it, and he said, to be an authentic church, you have to have these four things. Number one, the preaching of the gospel. You have to preach the gospel. If you go to church and they don't talk about the Bible, it's not a church. It might be a nice religious organization. It might be a collection of good people who do good things. But to be a church, there has to be a preaching of the scriptures. The second thing he said is, you have to serve the sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism. If you don't serve the Lord's Supper and you don't baptize anybody, you're not a church. The third thing he said is, you have to have New Testament officers, pastors, elders, and deacons. If you don't have pastors, elders, and deacons, you're not an authentic church. And then finally, he said, the members have to serve using their spiritual gifts. What makes an authentic church? The gospel is preached. The sacraments are served, the church is led by biblical officers, and the members serve each other based upon their spiritual gifts. With that definition, you can look around and see there's a lot of organizations that call themselves a church that stopped being a church a long time ago. They are good religious organizations, but they're not churches. So what makes a church valuable? If we know what a church is, we ask the second question, what makes a church valuable? Well, the bank says our church is worth about $6 to $7 million. With the three properties and everything we have. But banks don't decide the value of a church. Because the church is not the building. The church is not the property. What the bank values is not what the church is. We are the church without any building, without any property. When we were renting the high school, we were still the church. Our value is not caused by what an appraiser says. So what sets the value of a church? You might be surprised to know the value of the church is established by the people who go there. This church is as valuable as you value it, and no more. This church is as valuable as the people who come here value it. But that's true of many things. the Browns are worth $1 billion because enough people will show up on Sunday and support them. You cut that attendance, and the team's value drops. It's valuable because people value it. The value of this church is determined by each one of the people who come here. If I passed out a card and asked you to write on that card a number between 1 and 10 that says how much you value the church, we could add that all up and we would know the value of this church. So what does valuing the church look like? If you want to ask yourself, do I value the church the way I should? What does it look like? The Apostle Paul wrote to a church in Ephesus, and this is what he said. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord. Paul was in Roman incarceration when he wrote this letter. So he says, I'm a prisoner because I'm a Christian, and the Romans put me in prison. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What does valuing the church look like? It looks like walking in a manner worthy of our calling. When I value the church, I have an inner sense that I'm part of the church because Christ has called me to be part of it. See, the very word church comes from a Greek word that means to be called out of. God called us out of all the people and brought us together and made us a church. But if you come to church any amount of time, you'll see that people pass through. Jesus said that there was a sower and he went out to sow. And he threw some of the seeds down and they fell on a hard pathway. And the birds came and ate it. He said, that's the kind of person who comes to church. It seems interesting to them, but it doesn't last very long, and you never see them again. He said, some of the seed fell on rocky ground. The soil wasn't very thick, and the seed sprang up, but when the heat of the sun came, the seed withered. That's the person who comes to church, and they make a real good start. But then something difficult happens, and you never see him again. He said, some of the seed fell among thorns and thistles, and the thorns and thistles grew up and choked out the seed. Jesus said, that's the person who started going to church. You thought they were going to make it, but the cares and the affairs of life and the deceitfulness of riches led them away. They just liked other things in life more. They just really worried more about their economic life than their spiritual life, and you never saw them again. He said, but there was some seed that fell on good soil, and they valued the church. And they started producing fruit. Their life started being spiritually productive. You see, at the core of your value of the church is, do you feel that God Himself is at work in you, calling you to be part of His body on the earth? Or is it just a nice hobby, a nice Christian tradition? You see, there's a big difference. If you feel called, if in your inner person you are aware that there is a great Lord Jesus Christ, and he's doing something important on earth, and he whispers to the human soul and says, join me in this, then church has an altogether different value. If church is just something you got in the habit of doing, but doesn't have any compelling call on your soul, your value of it will be diminished. Church. And then Paul said, here's what else it looks like. It looks like humble-mindedness, showing respect for everyone. In that, if I value this church, I respect everyone who's here. When I start disrespecting people, it's a expression that I don't value the church. Who is the person that doesn't deserve respect in the church? Everyone deserves respect in the church. If you don't get respected everywhere else, that's one thing. If you get dissed in the church, it's an altogether more ugly thing. When I value the church, I value the people in the church, and I show respect to all of them. From the least to the greatest, from the richest to the poorest, from the coolest to the weirdest. Because I value the church, I value that person. Church. Then it says gentle. This means noble but amiable. A noble soul, but an amiable soul that's able to get along with other people. You show your respect for the church by doing your best to get along with people. Then it says patient. I'm feeling pretty good about patience this week. I was driving home yesterday for my lunch break, and it's impossible to drive through Medina at certain hours of the day. You just can't drive through there. You might as well be in L.A. People were cutting in front of me, and I could feel myself getting impatient. So I said, all right, if you're going to be that way, now you have to let people in. And I forced myself to let people in. And I was running late. So I'm feeling pretty good about patience today. Can you be patient with other Christians? Can you be patient with other Christians? Or do you have to show your annoyance? You have to let them know how annoyed you are. Church, I show my value for the church by expressing patience with people. I say, because I value the church, I'm going to do everything I can to be patient with the people in the church. Here we have this verb, we saw it a couple weeks ago, lifting each other up. In the church, when somebody makes a mistake, we lift them up. We've already studied this verb in another one of the value sermons. The thing we value, we lift up. A teenager in our church makes a mistake. We don't kick them down. We lift them up. A family goes through a trauma. We don't ostracize them. We lift them up because we value the church. And then Paul said, be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Are you eager to create a peaceful environment around you? It's an expression of value. It's an expression of value. These values make it easy for me to decide how I treat people at church. Do you see? If I value the church, it's easy for me to decide how I'm going to treat every person I meet. I stop treating them on a one-on-one basis where do they measure up? And if they measure up, I'll treat them right. Or do they fall short? And if they fall short, I don't have to treat them right. You see, my values tell me how I'm going to treat people every single time I come to church. Can you hear me? I hope you're noticing through this series that these values overlap in life. Are you starting to see that? When you value your best self, you have some of these qualities everywhere you go. When you value your family, you are expressing these same qualities in your family. When you value your work, thank God Dominic did a good job last week, everybody. When you value your work, you're expressing these very same characteristics at work. And when we value the church, we're going out of our way to live these qualities in treating people that we meet at church in a way that says, I value you and I value this church. And then Paul goes on one of his runs. Paul likes to do this. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What do you do? What do you choose to do when you come to church? Let me give you some illustrations. I've been here when somebody comes to church and instead of choosing to worship when the band played, something about what the band played annoyed them. And then they made a conscious choice through all of the singing, through the whole sermon, to be critical. And the minute the service was over, they come running up to me to rebuke me about the song. That's what they chose to do. Do you see? They chose to do that. They chose in that moment, the whole service was going to be just an interruption before they could get to me and rebuke me for something they didn't like about the band. They chose to do that. What do you choose to do when you come to church? What do you choose to do? Because that expresses your values. I've also seen people come to the church and they've seen somebody with a broken heart and they chose to go out of their way to go to that person and show them some care. I've seen people in this church, unasked, go to somebody who was troubled, sit down beside them, and share their time with them. They chose to do that. Church, what do you choose to do? I've seen people choose to say thank you to the people at the coffee shop. I've seen people who choose to jump ugly about something they didn't like at the coffee shop. What do you choose to do when you come to church? Let's talk about another one. Hey, Doc, I got here early so I could sit on the end. I don't care if people come in and it's hard for them to sit down. I'm guarding my space. You think that ever happens here? We had a Sunday, was the 11 o'clock service. It was pretty full. A family, four people, first-time visitors, walked right down this aisle right here. Couldn't find four spaces that were convenient and walked all the way to the back. You know why? Because people chose to sit and not say, here, we'll move over and let you sit by us. Huh? How would you feel if that was you and your family the first time you came? Church? What we choose to do is important. We are a church not just because the gospel is preached. We are a church not just because we serve the Lord's Supper and baptize people. We are a church not just because we have pastors, deacons, and elders. We are a church because we serve each other the way Christ asked us to serve each other in the church. It matters. It matters that someone feels accepted enough that you're willing to choose to be a little uncomfortable to make them more comfortable. We are the church. Can you hear me? Some of you who invite friends know what I'm talking about. It's taken me 5 years to sometimes get somebody I've tried to get to come to church. It's taken me 5 years to get them. For 5 years, I've done everything creative I can to get them to come to church. And do you know what? I'm dying for them to have a good experience when they get here. Because I put 5 years into trying to get them here. Church. And when we value the church, and that person comes and they feel our value, it makes all the difference in the world. Or I try for 5 years, they show up, we're not the church that day, and they think, yeah, I knew it. Doc was exaggerating. Church, and you who have invited friends, you know what I'm talking about. You're dying for them to have a good first day, aren't you? We value the church when we express a value for anyone and everyone that God calls to come here on any given Sunday. Church. So Paul says, when you are the church, you're the body and one body and one spirit. When you're the church, this is what everybody does. And so it's your odds of having a good experience goes up because you're one body and everybody's buying into it. If only a few people are doing it, then your odds of running into those few people are low. But if we are one body and everybody's doing it and everybody has the Spirit, your odds of having a good experience at church go up. Because we're one body. We're all bought in. We're all valuing people the way Christ wants us to. One hope. We have the hope of eternal life. The church offers the hope of eternal life. One Lord, Jesus Christ. One faith, salvation through Jesus Christ. One baptism, one God and Father of all. You see, when we are the church, the whole thing works together in a unity so that you're going to be touched in a caring way by somebody because the whole church works together as a team. And then Paul said, by the grace given to each one of us, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. I'm going to push on a bruise here. Some of you say, Doc, I used to feel that way about the church, but I got hurt. I used to feel that way about the church, but I got hurt. I wasn't appreciated. Somebody spoke poorly about me in a way that wasn't true. The church took advantage of me. They expected way too much. I used to feel that way, but I got hurt. Stephen Hayes is a PhD in psychology, and I read his major thinking about values to prepare for this sermon series. Listen to what he says. We hurt where we care. If you look inside the pain and see why it hurts, you have a precise and powerful indicator of what you value. I want to say that again. We hurt where we care. If you look inside the pain, you see why it hurts. You have a precise and powerful indicator of what you value. So here's what I'm saying. If I value the church, it's going to hurt me from time to time. If the church never hurts me, it means I just don't care enough to be hurt. Do you get that? Hey, parents, if you value your kids, they're going to break your heart from time to time. Amen? If your kids never break your heart, I got to look inside and go, what's going on? Don't you care enough? I don't care enough to let my heart be broken. Church? All right, now hear me. Besides, if my heart has to be broken, I would rather have my heart broken by the church than by a stupid football team. Amen? If my heart has to be broken, I would rather it be broken by the church than by political disillusionment. Can you hear me? I would rather care more for the church and have a more vulnerable heart for the church than I do for other things. And so if I've never been hurt by church, it's because I've played it way too safe. And I want to say, as a follower of Jesus Christ, Christ's heart was broken by the church. Broken. It wasn't just broken, it's continually broken. We break the heart of Christ all the time. But he still loves the church. Each one of you receive grace. Remember several months ago I talked to you about different kinds of grace: serving grace, teaching grace, mercy grace, leading grace, hospitality grace. Everybody in this church that is called here by Christ is given grace. But none of us have all the grace. We all get a measure of grace. So God gave me a measure of grace to teach you. But if you need mercy, you better see Sharon. She has more mercy grace than I have. Nobody has it all. I mean, come on. And so, this church needs you to value it because you bring a grace that is from the heart of Christ that we can't get any other way. Do you hear that? God has graced you in a way that nobody else has that grace. And you bring that grace, and because you value the church, you give that grace away to the body of Christ, and we become more valuable because we are enriched by your grace. If you don't bring the grace, our value goes down. We have less to offer because what God has invested in you, it won't flow through you to us, and our value goes down. We need each other. Can you hear me, church? We need each other. The church is valuable because we come together, we bring what is best, and we share it with whoever God sends here, and the church becomes a valuable place in God's important thinking in the world. Churches that do this are infinitely valuable. Religious organizations that don't do this get lost in the community. They become invisible. There's just not anything valuable enough happening there to attract any attention to people who are far from God. Stephen Hayes also said this: values bring distinction to your life. You don't find them, you choose them. You don't find a value for the church, you choose to value the church. Do you see? Remember I talked to you, what do you choose to do when you come here? If you choose to be part of this important work of God working through us to touch other lives, you're choosing the value of the church. If you choose just to come here and be a consumer and offer nothing and do nothing, you're choosing not to value the church. Can you hear me? How much did Christ value the church? In this very same letter, Paul says in chapter 5, Christ loved the church and sacrificed himself for it. Can I remind you, Christ knows a lot worse things about the church than all of us put together know. And you know what he said? I still love it, and I'm still going to sacrifice myself for it. Church, do you want to be a follower of Christ? Then you have to value the church the way Christ valued it. If I want to be a follower of Christ, I have to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him. Can I tell you, he didn't have to. He did not have to. He didn't have to value the church so much that he was born in a stable. He didn't have to value the church so much that he fasted and prayed for 40 days that he could do everything God wanted him to do in the creating of the church. He didn't have to be insulted and rejected by religious leaders. He didn't have to be attacked by his hometown synagogue. He didn't have to be denied by his own chosen 12. He didn't have to wipe warm spittle from an angry mob off his face. He didn't have to. He chose to. He didn't have to hang on a cross and be mocked. He chose to. He didn't have to bow his head and say, "Father, into your hands, I give my spirit," and die. He chose to. Church, Christ chose to value the church in a way beyond what we can ever imagine. And now he says to each one of us, I'm calling you. You are my called ones. I'm calling you out of all the people in the world. I'm bringing you together in one place. I'm giving you great spiritual gifts. And I'm asking you to value the church in the kind of way that everybody who comes here gets grace in a way they can't find it anywhere else in the world. I'm asking you to value the church and sacrifice yourself for it. Church? I love the church. I'm unashamed. I'm unashamed to say I love the church. I think the people who come here are awesome. And I have a heart for us to team together and be so valuable that people say, that is a special place. And the grace of God makes a big difference in the world.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.